Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We have made it at last. There is 1 week to go until the Calcutta Cup and the kickoff for the Six Nations. But before we get there, we've got a podcast focusing on all things domestic. Edinburgh and Glasgow both in action in the URC this weekend. And some very, very interesting chat in the newspapers as we look forward to the Calcutta Cup at the weekend. But it's a double pod week. Alan, are you feeling that hype? How's the hope building at your place?
Well, I have put £20 on Scotland to win the Grand Slam, which
love it.
Seems rogue, but I had a friend message me, tell me they put £25 on, and I felt like, you know what, if I now don't do it, I'll regret it. So I did it.
you do have to be in it to win it.
You do have to be in it.
You'd hate for your numbers to come up in the lottery, wouldn't you?
100%. And but I have to say that there's already, even though we're week out, too much. Scotland are looking quite good. Scotland have done this. Scotland have got a chance. Conversations for my liking. I feel like we're going in just with a little bit too high expectations.
I think the one that sort of told me that hype was really frothing over was Sam Warburton coming over onto Team Scotland in the Times this week. That's when you know the international community is getting too overexcited. But that is the nature of the Six Nations every single year. Matt, are you feeling it?
I think I've maybe been swayed by all this positivity. Plus, I think some sort of like objective analysis points to quite a lot of optimism. I've maybe just sort of been writing the newsletter today and I've maybe lost my head in terms of being sort of very positive about the Six Nations. And I have sort of caveated that in my writing by saying this is all like too good to be true and I'm going to be proved extremely wrong, but we'll see.
The problem is, sitting here on a Sunday night having a couple of glasses of wine, you look at the URC table and Edinburgh and Glasgow are 1 and 2. A week out from the Six Nations. Has that can't have ever happened before in like the top Pro 14 or anything like that?
No.
I think
100%.
Yeah, need to ask Kev Miller. He'll have the stats around that.
I mean, usually we're like Glasgow are usually really crap in the first half of the season. Then they go on like sort of barnstorming runs into like the playoffs in the second half.
I just think generally, there's never really been many times where Edinburgh and Glasgow have both been strong at the same time. I think always historically, Edinburgh pre-Tunney were stronger than Glasgow, and then Edinburgh sort of became a little bit mid-table, and then Glasgow sort of were pushing for that top four for a long time. And as sort of Cockerill came slightly back at the end, kind of Glasgow retreated. So no, it's a new world. And Dodgson did say in his interview this week that, you know, once the teams had got sort of consistently sort of performing at a high level, he was eyeing up a third pro team. So
I didn't believe a single word of that. He was just sort of, he was like, yeah, it would be really great. And was basically just listing Scottish cities. He was like, you know, there could be an Aberdeen or a Dundee team. But he wasn't committing anything beyond that.
He's read the Thistle analysis. He knows it's a no-go.
Unless he builds one in Ayr.
Unless it's Ayr. That's my shout.
Well, I don't think we need to go down the rabbit warren of the Scotland Pro Team, but we certainly are in rarefied air at the top of the URC. And we'll be talking about the Glasgow win and the sad Edinburgh loss just about now, as well as looking into some the Scots abroad, members of the Scotland team squad who were playing elsewhere this weekend. Before we get there, quick word. We are back with the fine people at Match Pint for their Guinness Pint Predictor for the Six Nations this year. So make sure you get onto the App Store, Apple or Android, or wherever you get your stuff. Download the Match Pint app, get in there, and then join our league. It's Thistle on the Guinness Pint Predictor. You can then put in your predictions for the first round of the Six Nations. It's going to be throughout and compete against hundreds of others of Thistle listeners. If you get the score within five, you win a pint for a mate. If you get the score spot on, you win a pint for yourself. I think over the autumn internationals, lads, our league created, I think, over 700 free pints of Guinness. So, you know, if that's not a good reason for you to get onto Matchpoint and download the app and play the game with us, I don't really know what is. So that's Matchpoint. We're going to be doing our predictions on Thursday's pod once the Scotland squad is announced for the big game against England. But get yourself on there in the meantime. So there you go. That's a word from Matchpoint. Shall we start? Let's start with the positives, and then we can sort of slowly drag ourselves down into negativity and then a bit of pessimism before the Scotland game at the weekend. Let's start with Glasgow's 42 points to 20 win, two tries from Carl Steyn, two from McLean, and Sione Tuipulotu getting a man of the match. Alan, let's start with that man, Tuipulotu. How big an impact has he made at Glasgow, and do you think he's done enough to get a 12 jersey off Tooney next weekend?
I think he's probably performed better than any of us expected, or I think anyone in the press expected. I think actually a lot of us thought when he came over, he was just going to be sort of this hard running centre, but without much else. And I actually think that he's brought a little bit more creativity and a little bit more distribution than we were expecting. And I saw the stat that I think yesterday they were saying that in the URC this season, he's got the second most meters made of any player, which I think, you know, normally sort of taken up by your sort of back three. So for, you know, I think Johnson, it appears, is clearly in that driving seat for the 12 jersey, but I don't think any of us would be particularly disappointed if Tuipulotu either usurped him or came in for Johnson being injured now. So no, it's a good place to be in.
It's an absolutely high quality problem to have around that 12 jersey. But Matt, Glasgow coming off the back of much discussed on the pod and in the newsletter, disappointing couple of rounds in Europe. Pretty important for them to be able to pick up this win. Second place in the URC. Wilson in?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I hadn't quite realised. Obviously, Glasgow has sort of been swilling around that third, fourth, fifth place, but with Leinster suffering a kind of shock loss away at Cardiff, and Glasgow winning at the weekend takes them into that second place. So, look, the past few weeks haven't been great, but maybe fans, including us, are slightly overreacting. But overall, an impressive win given, I think, the scale of the win. Like 45-20 is a bit of a thrashing, really, considering the sports ground can be a pretty horrific place to play. You've seen know, Stade Francais go there this season, Leicester go there and only win with sort of the last play of the game. So for Glasgow to win so comfortably and for them to score some nice tries and actually get the ball into the hands of your Staines and Rufus McLeans and two Pelotas was just, yeah, pretty much perfect reaction, I suppose.
It was 20-all with about 20 minutes to go. But yeah.
But still, 45-20 away from home.
And in the weeks before, on this very podcast, and our words should be treated, you know, very, very seriously, we were sort of going after Glasgow for at that sort of 60-minute point, completely and utterly capitulating. So this is, they've sort of, not saying we made it, but they've definitely listened to us and they've sort of, they've addressed that issue from the previous weeks.
Just had the Thistle pod on as like hype music at halftime. Just to like get them focused in.
I think Danny Wilson's just
this
like,
is what they think of you.
Team meeting, lads. Like hour and 15 of the pod last weekend.
Yeah. No, I think absolutely right. Ultimately, College Way is like a super difficult game. And even more so when you're like missing six or seven first team starters who with the sort of Scotland team are sort of out injured. So no, it's a good win, but I guess just again, it's just like a little bit frustrating with Glasgow because I think maybe sort of more so than Edinburgh, they're sort of have been sort of very inconsistent this season in terms of kind of the quality of performances, both in like totality, but also just kind of during a match can sort of range from absolutely unbelievable to like complete turd within like a 10-minute period. But no, good to see, and obviously good to roll that into. Is it now the next game for them going to be 1872?
No, I think they're catching up. So they're playing Munster on Friday the 11th. So that's the night before the Scotland-Wales game.
Yeah, got you.
At Scotstoun,
then they've got Benetton coming to town. So there's a bit of catch-up going, and then they go away to the Scarlets. So I think they're playing these three matches. And then it goes into their home fixture against Edinburgh. And the 18th of March.
I thought it was also good to see a few of the guys who've maybe not played that much recently, notably George Horn and Thomas Gordon, who, you know, Tom Gordon until, you know, the arrival of Rory Darge was like sniffing around that Scotland squad and was probably one of Glasgow's best players that season. So I thought they both played really well, which was nice to see.
Yeah. 100%. I think, Tom Gordon probably like a year ago was like, I'm going to be the main man at Glasgow at seven and I'm going to be pushing for the Scotland squad. And then just out of nowhere, this lad gets shipped across the M8 and ends up being like the next best thing, which must just be incredibly frustrating. But no, he definitely sort of stepped up. And I think, as he sort of always is, unbelievable work rate and just unbelievably like abrasive at sort of ruck time, just like similar to Darge, just has sort of no desire to sort of for his own well-being. But
and another sort of like great Kiwi haircut to throw in the mix. We talked a little bit about Tuipulotu and potential Scotland chances. We talked a lot about this guy last week, Kyle Steyn. I think we're all quite big fans of him on the pod. Two tries, keeping Tooney honest when he's thinking about his squad this week. Matt, do you think he's maybe done enough to sort of push himself into the 23, maybe the 15?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think maybe if Maitland hadn't been called up into the squad, then he would have a far better chance. But I suppose he can cover that 13 position as well. And it does seem as if this squad selection for the Six Nations is putting quite a lot of value in versatility. I suppose it's just whether you take a bit of a risk with Steyn and say maybe in attack he is slightly ahead of Maitland at the moment just because he's younger and probably has a little bit more speed to his game, or you sort of go with that Maitland experience. And it's difficult to tell from this week in terms of the selections for Edinburgh and Glasgow as to who's sort of been released from Scotland to give them game time or just because they're not being considered for the England game. But you'd maybe think that with Steyn playing for Glasgow, he's not within that selection frame, but then both McLean and Graham were both playing as well. So I don't know if it's that sort of muddies the water slightly.
Do you think, especially with the back three, there's a little bit of a less need to sort of wrap them up in carded wool in the sort of week before the match?
Yeah, possibly. That could make sense. And maybe they want to see someone like Steyn have a go at 13 with a view to putting him on the bench and being able to genuinely cover quite a few positions.
It feels strange that they would go and start Sean Maitland after not initially calling him up to the squad. You know, he was only called up because Doohan and Kyle Rowe were both ill. And then...
Did Doohan play for Worcester at the weekend?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. So it's a little bit different with England, but I don't think Maitland was... Maitland wasn't called into the Saracens team, was he?
Yeah, he was on the bench.
Oh, just ignore me then.
Basically, everyone played. Kyle Rowe was on the bench as well for London.
Yeah. Irish. I guess it just means that Doohan's not ill anymore.
Yes. No, absolutely.
That means that basically there's only really like, is there a Maitland for Darcy Graham because he made a massive impact at training and reminded everybody that he's class?
Kinghorn's the other one, right?
Yeah.
Kinghorn started most of his games for Scotland on the wing. And can offer a sort of different game to a lot of those players. So potentially, Doohan, Hogg, Kinghorn, two pretty big, tall, bulky wingers able to come off the wing, attack Marcus Smith. I'm assuming they'll use Doohan more than Kinghorn, obviously, even in that situation. But it's Kinghorn does seem to be liked by Tooney and then also obviously Mike Blair as well. So could see it.
Well, we certainly will see. That's Thursday lunchtime. Tooney will be naming the Scotland squad for the big Calcutta Cup match on Saturday evening. Edinburgh remain top of the URC, but missed an opportunity to really strike out and extend their lead. Loss on the road to the Ospreys, 23-19. A hat trick from prop Bowen Venter, which you love to see a prop hat trick at the best of times. But Alan, an Edinburgh performance sort of littered with unforced errors.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange match. I nearly sent a message. I think it was about 20 minutes in, and it was still 0-0 or sort of maybe a little bit early in 20 minutes. And I was going to say, this is most certainly not a classic. And it felt very sort of old school Edinburgh, sort of pre-Blair Edinburgh, with not a lot on attack, sort of being able to front up, but driven a lot by Purgos. And to be fair to Purgos, some highly accurate box kicks. But I think they sort of went 14-0 ahead, and Ospreys just slowly seemed to kind of build up a little more dominance, especially around the breakdown, had a little bit more in attack, and sort of very suddenly were ahead. And Edinburgh just didn't seem to have sort of much leadership on the pitch, sort of a lot of drop balls, obviously Befeli kicking it dead. And I just think generally in attack, they really just didn't seem to have a game plan for how they were going to break down that Ospreys defence. It was just sort of very consistently, maybe sort of two or three phases, not making a lot of yards, Purgos, box kick, or kind of a little sort of grubber through. And yeah, it was a little, I think it was just generally sort of a little bit disappointing for a team that I guess wasn't.
It's quite a lot of changes in that.
Quite a lot of
though,
changes.
Particularly in the backline.
No, that's true. But I think ultimately Purgos and Jackal, no, they're two pretty senior players. And I actually think Purgos did what he can do pretty well, but I thought Jacko had a relatively poor game. Also, got charged down on a conversion. What the fuck is that about?
I saw that, yeah.
That is unacceptable.
What do you think with Jacko? I mean, that's his first involvement this season, it seems. Or maybe he played against the Stormers as well. But, you know, not anywhere near a Scotland squad, it seems. Do you think his days in Scotland are a bit numbered?
I think if the Kinghorn experiment works, which I think early signs are that it has, and that Edinburgh are playing quite well with him in that role, I wouldn't be surprised if Jacko was seen as sort of surplus to into requirements. Because I'm just not. I think we were chatting this about Lisbon a little bit on WhatsApp. You'd think he's probably on pretty good wedge after he sort of recontracted and he was sort of in and around the Scotland team.
Exactly.
And you're just not sure with that he's sort of being able to sort of deliver a level of performances that is sort of needed for someone I imagine's on, yeah, said a pretty good wage, and increasingly looks like Kinghorn's going to be the starting man. Cervella did look pretty good against Saracens, and you'd like to think by at least sort of next year before Chamberlain might be starting to sort of break through.
Chamberlain seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth, going from the next big thing to not really getting any representation.
I don't even know where he is, to be fair. I sort of assumed he was still in the Edinburgh team squad in some capacity.
He is. I think Edinburgh released the pre-match training video from the training on the dam on Twitter the other day, and he was in that. Because the only reason I sort of noticed that is because I was almost quite surprised to see him. It's like, oh yeah, right. Yeah, that Chamberlain guy is still kicking around. I wonder if...
It was only this time last year during the Six Nations that he scored like a couple of really vital sort of like last minute tries or kicks for Edinburgh. It was in that sort of like March, end of last season, where he looked like he was the sort of the coming man. And then Ross Thompson got his opportunities and seemed to like completely take over him as like the sort of the next big Scotland like prospect at 10. It has been quite a dramatic fall. Or dramatic for people that are interested in that sort of stuff, I guess.
serious drama.
Yeah, dramatic if you think like the fourth choice Scotland 10 is an interesting talking point. Yeah.
I think I think if you were looking for the positives out of the game, is Mike Blair's obviously rotated his squad a lot, and maybe this kind of game makes him realise that he can't do that as much as he'd like, or which players are, you know, fit his game plan, or that he rates.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He can, I suppose, trust in difficult situations, because presumably Edinburgh are going to get to a point where, I understand it's a long season, but they're going to get to a point where they have settled on, you know, their first choice 23, with maybe a few positions that change depending on the opposition.
Yeah. Players like Haining, you need to start every match. You are a man. I actually think Haining's going to start against England. It's going to happen.
Well, Kev Miller did a sort of rundown of all the players from the Scotland squad involved at the weekend, and it had Bayliss and Haining in the forwards as injured. Now, I don't know what exactly that means, like for how long, but might be an issue.
Fair.
That is fair. I did see that Bayless. Yeah, Bayless came off for Bath last weekend, didn't he? I don't know if it's like head knock.
I think he's head knock, return to play protocols, that stuff.
But then, just going back to the match, Bowen Venter, first ever prop in the history of the URC. And I'm assuming when they say the history of the URC, they're not meaning like the last 6 months or like yeah. They're meaning the kind of like history of sort of, I guess, cross-border Celtic rugby.
I'd absolutely love to see like a sort of Rock Nation Bowen Venter supercut just to like celebrate this milestone.
And to be fair, he has been a good signing, actually. It's sort of classic Safa, just like loves contact, like hates tackle him so much. Not huge, but generally is just sort of great in sort of those tight areas.
What do you think about a Bowen Venter versus DJ Khaled like scrum off as part of kind of like URC promotional content, like get it on a stage? I think that could be quite good.
Like Jay-Z in like one of those like black and white like American referee shirts, just sort of like doing that.
I mean, the URC, Rock Nation are doing absolutely fuck all at the moment, so they might as well do something.
You don't know what
they're
doing.
It's a really good point.
What, maybe
just behind the scenes doing nothing. Great. I mean, sorry.
Do you know what I'd say? Partnership. Some of the Edinburgh graphics are looking quite snazzy.
Well, do you think that has anything to do with them?
There's no way that's got anything to do with Rock Nation. What I would say, Rock Nation have not changed the face of domestic rugby yet. It's not happened quite yet.
But I agree.
Maybe they're dovetailing it with NFTs revolutionizing world rugby's revenue streams.
And that'll be
the big moment when that comes through.
Can't wait for the URC NFTs to drop.
It's inevitable. Like, just, it is inevitable at the moment.
Just like get your like 1 of 50 Dave Cherry like bored ape monkey NFT. Gonna be unbelievable.
Ryan Wilson's big into his NFTs.
Yeah,
judging on his Instagram.
Random show of you. Who do you think were the two vice captains? If Henry Purgos was captain the weekend, who do you think was named the two vice captains?
I know that Matt Curry was one of them because I saw Gary Heatley. I think I did a post or wrote about it. I don't know who the other one was.
It was Dave Cherry.
Big Chezza.
Did I not see Glenn Young was one?
You were wrong. You did not see that.
I made that up. Just like
you've been dreaming about Glenn Young again.
Yeah, about old Glenny.
What do you think, like Darcy Graham, or like Henry Matt Curry's had like a fair. I'm sure he's like a really good guy. But he's like 20 and had like 6 caps. It's like why? I'd just really interested to understand like what he has, like what are his characteristics that they were like that guy is vice captain material. Magnus Bradbury. Is ex-captain, over 100 caps. He even getting a gig of vice-captain.
Mate, Curry's seen some stuff. He's gone through the school of hard knocks, i.e. Murky.
He's
learned some real life lessons there that you can apply to.
And to be fair, when Bradbury was made Edinburgh captain, he was out, had 10 pints and 20 Marble Lights and fell over and got his strip from him. So his captaincy credentials took a bit of a knock.
That's fair. I mean, Dave Cherry looks like a man who's probably had a lot of 10-pint, 20 Marble Light sessions, to be fair.
Yeah, but that's part of his leadership.
Yeah.
You buy into that from him.
Anyway. No, just interesting. It's and actually, Matt Curry didn't do very much, but I actually thought Cammy Hutchison, young guy, played really well. And good to see him get a bit of
game. Has Cammy Hutchison ever been in and around the Scotland squad? Because I know Matt Curry's been in and like sort of trained on the outskirts of it. You know, when Tooney calls up like a few interns, basically. I don't know if Cammy Hutchison's ever been in there.
I don't think so. Never can recall.
Interesting. Just looking at the unavailable list for Edinburgh this weekend. So yes, you were right. Nick Haining, Luke Crosby, and then James Lang as well. So I sort of. But
I was looking at just sort of Edinburgh, obviously top of the league, but they are also got the most bonus points with 8. So, you know, the games that they lost have been close and they scored a decent amount of try bonus points. They're 3rd in points against and 4th in points for. So they're looking in pretty good shape overall.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they've got much to worry about. And they'll have less games than Glasgow during this period as well, would they? Or is they going to be the same?
I think they've got a bit of a catch-up to do.
Well, Edinburgh will finally get tested by those Irish sides because they've got Leinster away and Munster. Not sure if it's home or away. But, yeah, two pretty difficult tests when they will be without quite a few of their internationals once again.
Feels like Leinster as well just sort of can have like 15 internationals away and still have like an insanely strong, I appreciate they lost to Cardiff at the weekend, but an insanely strong team. Whereas Edinburgh maybe saw sort of the hints of, again, sort of this weekend that once you sort of start to cut out, again, those sort of top kind of 5 or 6 players, that actually there just isn't that much depth. But, you know, it's... we'll see. It's a big test, given the fact, said, the fact that they've not really played that many of sort of the top teams, I would say.
Yeah, so there's Leinster at the RDS, and then Munster at Tilman Park, and then Connacht are coming to the Dam Health. So we are certainly going to learn an awful lot about Edinburgh over the next 3 weeks. But
it'd be interesting to see what they do, I guess, sort of 9-10 wise, whether they sort of stick with Jacko sort of through this period, or whether they sort of go to someone like Savela. And again, with like, I guess with Purgos, it's sort of, he ultimately, Purgos does what he does really well. Just not sure whether this Edinburgh team, whether he's now sort of the right fit for that. It feels like Velikot sort of really helps set the tone for what this kind of Edinburgh team has been doing over the last sort of 4 or 5 months. So I wonder how much they might try and bring him in, even though he's obviously going to be part of the wider Scotland squad. We'll see.
Yeah, we absolutely will see. So that's going to be fun. There was originally not planned to be any URC stuff on international weekends, but it's bumper rugby thanks to that Omicron wave just before Christmas. Plenty of other Scots involved around the rest of the UK and abroad this weekend. Matt, should we start at, I don't know if it was at Franklin's Gardens, but Rory Hutchison getting on the score sheet, Northampton wins, getting sort of like high praise. Everyone loves a bit of Hutch hype running up to a major Scotland tournament. What did you make of it?
Well, yeah, he's timed his run pretty well because he's sort of scored in the last few games. And I think from a position where at the start of the season, he wasn't actually starting that much. And Dingwall was the one receiving all the praise. He's come on to a good game. And I think he's sort of made that 12 shirt his own, whereas before he was playing a bit at 15. And Dingwall's the interesting one, who seems to consistently be one of Northampton's best players. But, you know, aside from being called up to that England camp, hasn't really troubled the international scene. I suppose overall, you also had, you know, Sutherland and Doohan playing for Worcester, and to see them just come through injury free was all you really wanted.
Sutherland on the score sheet as well.
Yeah, he dived over from close range. It was a classic kind of yard run from a prop, but fair play to him. And Finn Smith, the young standoff, who it appears is Scots qualified, although I think is currently in the England under-20s, getting some decent game time. So I'm sure that Townsend and co have been tapping him up.
Was it Steve Diamond in the week that was sort of talking up Finn Smith quite a lot?
Yeah, and it was quite funny. He was like, "Oh, who's this like lad with a fancy name in the England squad at the moment? Orlando, like Orlando Bailey. Finn Smith's way better than him." which was interesting because, you know, I think he's a young player who's sort of not played that much professional rugby really, but appears to be quite highly rated.
Well, it's fine. Hopefully Eddie continues to ignore Finn, and then Tooney can just send out the big come get me plea. Just get him north of the border.
It would be great to replace Finn with a new Finn.
It would be good.
Yeah.
Drop one N. It's like a Finn. It's like a, it's an F-I-N Finn, isn't it? This Finn Smith.
And
good
to be
question.
You know, it is. It is. It's a single N.
A single N.
And to be fair to Finn, he led racing to a win away to lose last night.
Yeah.
Apparently dropped the ball over the line though. Isn't
I thought he touched it down like half a meter in front of the line. I think he did quick tap and went for it and reached out and sort of missed it. I think it sounds like it was a very classic sort of Finn Russell performance where there was like moments of genius and moments of like complete, just horrific awfulness.
Got that to look forward to.
But ultimately, all mixed together in an away win at Toulouse, you can't really argue with. So it's, but no, again,
I still haven't quite got my head around the fact that Anton Breslau's now like absolutely killing it for racing.
I don't know if killing it is tough.
Okay.
I mean, the fact
doing
he's
well,
getting, I'd say the fact he's getting game time for racing is relatively, he is absolutely killing it.
No, yeah, that is fair.
Based on his levels at the sort of the tail end of his time at Edinburgh, that's killing it level, surely.
To be honest, yeah. If someone had said when he was leaving Edinburgh that in 4 years' time he'd be in the starting racing 23, I would have laughed at you. So
maybe if you're a kind of slightly over the hill second row, like Tim Swinson, there's value to be had somewhere. Maybe that's like the new signing that kind of Moneyball analytics has identified.
Yeah.
There's maybe something there.
Just Ben Toulis gets signed up by
like Clermont.
Like yeah, La Rochelle.
What who else was in the sports abroad, Matt? You've got the list in front of you, I think.
Yeah, there's actually a lot. You had in London Irish beating Exeter, you had Carl Rose on the bench, but then you had Johnny Gray, Sam Skinner, and Stuart Hogg all starting.
And all coming, Ray, through, yeah, all coming through
seems,
safely?
I think Hogg was subbed off at 60, but just to sort of manage game time.
Yeah.
Darcy Ray played a full 80 for Bath, which I think was like his first proper start of the season.
Also, he's getting rave reviews.
Yeah, exactly. And he's kind of like a bit of a forgotten man of Scottish rugby. And once again, it sounds as if, you know, the Cam Redpath return from injury is going, he's timed it so well for the Calcutta Cup. He'll doubtless get injured after that and not play again, but if you can kind of like break him out of storage for that, then that's fine by me. There's a lot. Gloucester have got this real growing contingent of Scots. Obviously, there's Hastings, Harris, and Andrew Davison, who people might be familiar with. But then you've also got Charlie Chapman, who's been playing really well at nine. And I think if our sources are right, Jack Singleton, who's previously played for England, will qualify for Scotland under the new residency rules. And considering Gloucester are fourth in the league, it's a pretty good place for those guys to be.
I think I put out some feelers on Singleton, firstly to see if he'd come on the pod, and secondly to see if he was interested. I think he still wants to play for England. I think he's still, the fact that he was in like the World Cup final squad in like 2019, I think he's still like pretty connected there, but let's give him 18 months. Let's see how he feels in a little bit.
Yeah, let's see what happens if, yeah, next Six Nations, he doesn't get even like a text message from Eddie and gets
and
a
he's
call
getting
from Townsend.
Well, he gets a call from me and I'm being like, Jack, come on, mate.
Yeah, sure. That'll be the clincher.
Could be. Maybe I'd get some sweet referral money.
That'd be nice.
He's okay. Tap into that SRU
of his match
money, that would be quite good idea.
And then probably the only other one to mention is quite a few Scots involved for Sale in a good win for them against Leicester. In Ashman, he's been starting quite a lot, a hooker recently, Byron McGuigan on the wing. And someone was informing us today on Twitter that Tom Roebuck, the other winger, is Scots-born, Scots-qualified. And he got on the score sheet. And then
have we stood that up?
Well, I went back to the guy and he said he sent me his bio from the Sale Sharks website and it says place of birth Inverness. So It's not even a, it seems as if it's not even a tenuous connection.
Here we fucking go.
Here we go. Well, there you go.
Get him in. Get him in with Andy Christie.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone, Scottish rugby socials have really bought into Andy Christie. There's so much Andy Christie content out there already.
Yeah.
He does come across very well, to be fair.
Oh, totally. Comes across great. And is he a bit of a beast? He's an absolute unit in the photos that I've seen. I haven't seen him play that much rugby for Saracens, admittedly, apart from that time when we saw him against Edinburgh.
You can never judge. Someone can look like a beast and be terrible, though. Always remember, Finn Russell is the definition of peak performance.
That is true. You might not like it, but that is what peak athletic performance looks like. Any more, Matt?
Probably the only thing I'd highlight is the fact that Tim Swinson just keeps going, trucking on, and it was him and Callum Hunter-Hill packing down in the boiler room for Saracens. Whether that had anything to do with the fact that they lost to Wasps, I don't know, but you can probably quite easily draw the dots there.
Yeah. And a final shout probably for the Thistle Rugby Pod Derby in the Schools Cup semi-final. The bad guys, Stu Mel, beating Watsons yesterday. Disappointing to see, I have to say. Do we know who they're up against RBG. In the final?
It was Dollar against Murky in the other final. So it's good to see that the tournament's really sort of branched beyond the traditional strong schools.
How are Fife the only team from sort of like outside of that, like the Edinburgh and sort of traditional public rugby schools that have made it to the final or have won it?
Yeah, I can remember. It's like literal like freak year of like five absolutely amazing rugby players.
Who literally all went on to play for Scotland.
Yeah, either like international or seventh. So, yeah.
But then the likes of a Stirling County under 18, for instance, they don't put a side in, do they? They play in the other.
They play in a different tournament, so, yeah.
I always wondered what how they would do in the cup.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. They should 100% just put those sort of teams in together with the schools. Yeah, there's just fundamentally from just like a resources and a focus standpoint, there's like not really any state schools that are ever going to be able to compete with the private schools. It's always going to have to be club led and with like an amalgamation of people from different senior schools if it's going to be a sort of state led team.
Yeah.
But yeah, one for another time.
Yes, bigger discussion than we can handle, probably.
Probably bigger. I'm trying to think. Robert Gordons. They were the team you beat in the final, weren't they, Alan?
Yeah, but it's not. Like, I mean, private school, just in Aberdeen.
private rugby school. It's just in Aberdeen. Yeah, just don't think about it that much.
Rui Jackson at 10.
Yeah,
and I laid him the fuck out. No, I didn't.
Really. Did you?
No, I didn't at all. I think he actually ran straight over me. I think I was probably the most pathetic inside centre that's ever won the Schools Cup. But it's what it is.
We'd love to see the other candidates for that.
Well, the next year it was Pete. It was Pete Horn. So the contrast
real sliding
there for everyone to see.
Real sliding doors moment for Scottish rugby. You've chosen one of the two of you. well, that is everything for tonight, guys. As I say, we'll be back later in the week. Scotland squad is going to be announced on Thursday, so we'll be there to preview Scotland versus England, which is next. How exciting! Next Saturday evening, we're going to be in the Roseburn from about midday on Saturday. So if anyone wants to come in for WKDs, they will be lined up on the bar on Saturday, but we'll be back to preview that on Thursday evening. So in your feeds on Friday morning, I would have thought. In the meantime, get yourself onto the App Store, download the Matchpint app and join our league. That's Thistle in the Guinness Pint Predictor. Predict the scores and win some pints for yourself and for your mates. Follow us on Twitter, Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and Matt's newsletter dropping first thing tomorrow morning. That's on Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. join the thousands of people that are signing up to that and getting it in their inbox every Monday morning. Live the good life. What is stopping you? And that is it for us. We'll speak to you later on in the week. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.